The thing is not how you are on your best days, how can you step up on your worst day? What's your, when everything is going terrible, when you're tired, when you're frustrated, when you're edgy, how do you treat other people?
Fuck pain, fuck heartbreak. I'm still in love with life.
From the multicultural headquarters of the future capital of the free-thinking states of America known as Los Angeles, this is the Drunken Taoist Podcast. On this episode, Daniele and crew are back for a quick pit stop on their globe-trotting adventure before heading out to the Black Hills of South Dakota. He's here to provide us with a grand update of their Italian adventures, from swimming in the Mediterranean to taking his 90-year-old great-aunt for a fantastic dinner. So far, so good, except for mosquitoes. Mosquitoes are plentiful in Italy, and like their American cousins, they suck. Here we go! And now, asking you all to spread the words that corporations are not persons, I'm Rich Evers. And my partner in crime, the savage philosopher and middle finger of the gods, Daniele Bolelli. As we invite you to lower the lights, batten down the hatches, and prepare to open your mind. For the Drunken Taoist Podcast begins now.
Welcome back, everybody. Another fine episode of the Drunken Taoist Podcast, episode 221. Daniele and Isabella were back for a few days a couple of weeks ago, so we took a moment to hear all about their trip and how it's been going. So far, so good. We're going to be focusing only on good things this week. I'm sure quite a few of us have had enough news for all time, so we're just going to keep it pleasant and about nice things that have happened on their tour of Italy, some fun things at the telescope out here. It's just going to be pleasant. So let's get to that in just a second. First, real quick, got to thank the people that help us keep all this stuff in motion. And we'll start with grasslandbeef.com. Farm fresh bundles of over 16 items, including various beef steaks, roasts, ribs, ground beef, franks, as well as pork sausage, bacon, and chops. All that delivers right to your door. And something else I don't think I'd ever noticed before, raw pet food bundles for your canine or feline carnivore. Packs of ground chicken backs or pet burger for your raw meat loving friend. And just so you know, all of Grassland Beef's products, beef, lamb, bison, dairy products, are sustainably raised, 100% grass-fed, 100% grass-finished, no GMOs, antibiotics, no added hormones, no pesticides, no herbicides. They're doing it just the way you should do it. And it's fantastic. I just cannot recommend them enough. Grasslandbeef.com. Another fast mention of our pals at Kiva, kiva.org. $192,000 in loans from your fellow listeners over the past 5 or 6 years. It's incredible. It is so impressive. And something I just love to brag about, that you guys take your hard-earned money and loan it to strangers. And that sort of is just the awesome thing about it. It's $25. You get it back when they pay it back. It usually takes about 18 months. And then you can lend it all over again. One of your fellow listeners and myself helped Catalina from Samoa out. She needed a loan to get some sewing machines, thread needles, measuring tape, scissors, and all the sort of material to help out with her home business. It wasn't even a large loan. I think it was like $800, and everybody is already on board. It is paid for. She has it, and she will pay it back over the next little while. And when we get the money back, we send it out again. We don't know this woman, but we're just trying to make somebody's life a little easier so they don't have to deal with local loan sharks that could start. It's almost like credit card companies charging people 35%, 45% for a simple loan. We don't charge them anything. We help them get the money. We get our money back, and then we lend it again. Kiva.org. I cannot recommend it enough. A fantastic charity and something I think you'll be happy to be part of. Alrighty, time to get to the most important part, the botching of the names of the fine folks that are kind enough to help us keep everything going. They take their own hard-earned money, keep the show alive. It's definitely appreciated. And here is our list for today.
Let the pottering begin.
The donors for this week: Luis Pisquera, Yanni Linamai, Jesse Rantakangas, Aaron Wisner, Austin Stillwell, Clayton Payne, Frederick Hahn, Jonathan Waterlow, Stephen McKee, Thomas Robinson, Mike Allen, Stephen Notarani? Oh, Notarani. Stephen Notariani? Lisa Robles? Nick Zunick? Astis Juska? John Varaga? Nicola Togni? And Joseph Lord. Thanks to each and every one of you. You guys make it a little easier for us to keep it going, and it is so appreciated. All right. Finally, real quick, before we get going, a thanks to our pals Daisy House for the fantastic theme music that's been with us for so long. A fantastic track that really is sort of like the iconic sound of the Drunken Dows podcast. It just, when I hear it, I know it's about to happen. I'm sure you do too. So, let's slip into that theme song. And when we get back, part one of the Bolelli family adventure, the Europe Days. Here we go. So fresh back from Italy, the homeland.
Yes, indeed.
Was it hard to return as you're traveling back in time and space when you got back here?
Yeah, it's multiple levels. Yes, I mean, on one level, it was hard actually being in Italy because, of course, especially Milan. Milan, I just went, which is where I'm from, I just went for minimal amounts of time. I got there for like one day, saw a few people. Go there for one day at the end, so a few people, that's it. Because that one is just...
Too many memories.
Yeah, it's sad. There's definitely... Because everything in Milan is tied to my dad, and so that one is gets to me a bit. The rest of Italy, no. Rest of Italy was fine. I could do all right. I went... I haven't been in the south in a longest time, and I got to go to Puglia, which is kind of the heel of the boot of mm-hmm. Italy. Incredible city over there. It's, I don't mean to sound like a commercial for Puglia, but I probably will because it's, the water is crystal clear. You can see the tiniest fish at the bottom, no problem, because wow. It's like being in the Caribbean or something.
Is the water nice and warm too?
And that's the other part. Water is warm. Yeah. It's like diving in your pool. So the other beautiful thing when the water is warm is that there are no sharks. Because sharks like the cold water. So, you know, in the U.S. by the ocean, they can come close to the shore because it's cold enough.
Sure.
With warm water, they don't bother. Like, if you're going to find a shark in Italy, it's probably like a mile out or something. So it's completely relaxed. You don't have to worry about anything in the water, even if, though, realistically, there are not that many shark attacks worldwide. But still. Still unnerving to
sure.
have
it's something to think about.
Nothing like that when you swim in the Mediterranean close to the shore. It's warm.
With the warmer water, do you get any jellyfish on occasion?
You do.
So that's most, always the, you the most trade-off definitely for the warm water.
Get jellyfish. So it's one that you need to watch for sure.
Yeah.
I didn't get any. The two dangers of the Mediterranean in that regard are jellyfish. And sea urchins.
Oh, yeah.
Sea urchins, you really want to check where you put your feet down. Because I almost hit one during this trip. There was this rock underwater, and I was like, let's go sit there. And I'm getting close. A good thing it was so clear, the water. So even as blind as I am, I could see it. And I'm like, is that a sea urchin? And they're like, yeah. Okay, let's not sit on that one.
Wow.
So that was... But other than that, man... Taking a swim in the Mediterranean is like receiving a warm hug. It's just so nice. It feels amazing. It's hard for... I spent years and years when... the first probably 18 years I lived in US, it was so much cheaper to go in winter than in summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much double in price. So I would always go in winter because it's like, I don't have the money to go in summer. So for probably 18 years, I never went in the Mediterranean again. And I would find myself dreaming about it on a regular basis. I would dream of what it felt like to dive into those waters and all of it. So anytime I get to do it these days, I'm like, yes, this feels amazing.
Sandy beaches or rocky beaches?
Both.
Okay.
Both. You have super rocky ones, you have sandy ones. In Puglia, we got more sandy ones. It was, that's the life. You sit down and it just feels happy.
I have these German friends that always come raved about Mallorca.
I heard about it. I haven't been.
But it's in that section of the water.
Yeah, it's all Mediterranean. And another one that I hear a lot about, I know a lot of people who go is Ibiza. Ibiza is famous. It's also kind of a party island, so there's that side, but also that's more, Ibiza is technically, I think it's Spanish, almost 100%. Yeah, I think it's Spanish. And it's, but it's Spanish not kind of toward the Atlantic, it's Spanish still contained within the Mediterranean, so it's fantastic.
Are these from, when did the Spanish grab a hold of that?
It's close to them. So it's, I'm sure they, it's like,
I just figured Portugal would get in the way somehow, so I'm not looking
Portugal
at it right.
Is toward the Atlantic, so right. That Portugal, anything for Portugal, you are on the Atlantic, there's nothing else. But Spain, most of it, because Portugal kind of blocks off so much of that coast on the Atlantic,
right,
is
right.
A little bit on the Atlantic, and then most of it is still south, more within the Mediterranean.
That makes sense.
So it's, but yeah, man, it's like, I can't, I don't have enough words to say how cool it is to be in the Mediterranean. It's just a beautiful place. The only thing I recommend for people listening who are like, hey, I want to go, don't go in August. August is brutal, both heat wave-wise and also just everyone on Earth at that point is on the beach in those days. So you're like elbow to elbow and you have no room.
No, that's not a fun way to do the beach.
You go in June, it's gold. You go in September, it's gold. July is hit and miss. August, nah. August is not the way to do it.
And how did your blossoming teenager like?
Right? She officially turned 13 while we were in Italy, so
got
a teenager on my hands. Yes. No, we had a blast. We had a blast. We went... we had a really great time. She gives a lot of satisfaction in that regard, because I can't even tell you how many days at the end of the day she has this big smile and she's like, I had the greatest day today. And she said that on a fairly regular basis. So I'm like, okay, we're doing something right here.
That is nice.
So that helps a bunch. But no, she had a blast. The funny part was, I don't know about her. I need to check with her for me. I ate enough food to feed 5 armies, right? Everything tasted so fucking good. I forgot how that food can taste that good. And someday I would eat it where I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna burst. This is almost too much. And then, of course, you do the same thing at dinner, and then at lunch again, pour a bunch of wine over it. So it's just, I was not watching myself. I was like, okay, when I'm back, I'm going to be 10 pounds over easy from these 3 weeks. And I got back, I got on the scale, I lost a pound.
Because it's good food, probably not garbage.
I think that's what's up. Because I was like, I was walking not that much, not enough to offset everything I ate. But that really got me thinking, what the fuck is in the food out here? Because I can guarantee you that if I ate that amount in US, I would be 10 pounds over. And instead, not even close.
Yeah, I'm sure the majority of it is a barely digestible filler that provides no nutritional...
That's my guess.
At all.
That the food there is just heavy nutrition-filled food, so you feel it, you fill up. And
probably not a lot of weird ingredients either, I think. When you're getting, you know, that's butter, pasta.
Yep. Keep it simple
and cheese.
Keep it simple and amazing. But yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe it because I ate like way more than what I should eat.
What was your favorite thing?
Oh, God. The good thing, too, the funny thing about Italy is that when people say Italian food, there is no such thing. You know, it's completely regional from one place to another. So in the south, it was fish galore, a ton of these like seafood salads, seafood in every possible way you can think of.
Nice.
In the north, I had an epic session with polenta, which is...
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, and they put it with ribs, they did it with mushrooms, they did it in every possible way. And this dude at the end came up with this cup of gelato with warm blueberries in it. I was like, I think I'm going to move, not in Italy, not in this town. I'm going to move in this restaurant and live here day and night because this is heaven. So, yeah. So, good times.
How great was that?
Yeah. I'm going to try to learn one of our friends because we're always with friends in this period we stayed, which made the trip easier, of course, because cheaper. But one of our friends cooked this... she make this focaccia, that she make the dough at home, and then they were some of the best things I've ever tasted.
And they stack a full little tomatoes and olives and rosemary and that sort of stuff, cheese.
Pretty basic, actually. It was just the dough with olive oil, with salt, with not much else.
Nice.
Cool. Oh, my God. So, yeah, good stuff. Definitely good stuff.
It reminds me, I forgot your limoncello for the 15th time.
Hey, it's all good. I'm making some at home as well, so we are on a roll with that.
Are you going to try the orangeello this time, too?
Yes.
That should be... there must be some reason it doesn't exist. Something went wrong. It seems like it'd be great.
No, it tastes fantastic. I mean, I haven't tasted the one I made, but I tasted somebody else's orangeello before. It's great. And this one is going to be ready in about a month. Yeah. So when I get back from... Because, under the file, summer is for travel. I'm here for a couple of days. We record this episode, and tomorrow I get in a car and I drive for like 22 hours, spread out over probably 3 days, and make it to the Black Hills. So that's the goal.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. This year, I managed to check the boxes of the 3 trips I wanted to do, which I never got to do 3 trips like this in a year. Hawaii in November, Italy, and now South Dakota.
Yeah.
The cool thing is that made it also affordable is that everywhere except South Dakota is with friends. Hawaii, I stayed at a friend's house. Italy, I stayed at a friend's house. So we're paying for essentially the flight and the food, but not everything else, which made it considerably better. The car, that too.
In the Dakotas, I don't think those are the most expensive hotels.
It's not bad at all. So it's doable.
Gas is going to get your attention.
Yeah, but even then, compared to 3 airplane tickets, screw it. It's still way cheaper. Because then you would have to also rent a car. And so by the time you add it up, it's actually you save money this way. Oh, speaking of cars, I had the mystical experience of driving in Italy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Especially in Puglia was hilarious because to get to the house of our friends, there wasn't a real road. It used to be a horse road. So it's about as wide as a car is, maybe like 6 inches on each side of the car.
Right.
And that's bad enough. Except that it's a two-way street.
Oh.
So you're like, how exactly?
How does that work? So somebody decides they're going to be the winner?
You run into each other, so you stop, and whoever is closest to a gate of somebody's house, you back up that much, pull into the gate just enough that the other guy can squeeze by.
Wow.
And that's how you do it, because there's barely fits one car, like the two cars, there's not physically any way, shape, or form to do it.
So, that would never work here.
Right?
There'd be shootouts.
Be like, I came here first, motherfucker. No, I didn't. Yeah.
That's just pleasant. Everybody's got time to help the other get to where they need to be.
Yeah, it was totally pleasant. It was bizarre also how, I always heard Southern Italians talk shit about Northern Italians being cold.
Right.
And it's funny because you go to Milano and people were so nice to Isabella. It wasn't even funny. But you go to Puglia and it was like, oh my God, this is really friendly.
Really?
there was a lady who was working at some of the houses next to us, was like doing cleaning for another house. And Isabella got to meet her. They start chatting. This lady, I kid you not, she sat with Isabella and they held hands for an hour chit-chatting. And when she said goodbye, she was crying because she's like, I just met you, but you're such a nice person. Da, da, da. It was like warm to a level that is like, does it really work among human beings like that?
I think it was supposed to, but yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it.
No, it was pretty funny, but... our terrible host with her kid, who's about Isabella age, she just look at her kid and goes, hey, I see that the lady there really loves Isabella. She made this whole big deal and she doesn't do that with you. That should make us think about it.
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
And this poor kid was like a Zen master. They would all these random insults would flow his way and he would just be like... So that was, but Italy's fantastic. I had a good time. I I didn't even know I was doing that, but a friend of mine set up an event for me to kind of, I was like, I don't know what we're doing, but like, you want me to speak about some, like, sure, I'll, don't even tell me, just get me going and I'll just put a quarter in my ear and I'll start speaking, you know? And I did this whole thing, which was kind of life, philosophy, experiences, whatever. And I thought I kept it light. I guess I did it, because by the end, there were maybe like 40 people in attendance or something. And by the end, I had 10 people come up to me crying. And I was like, come on, it's not that bad. And I would like rub their back and be all hugging them and be like, it's okay. It's like, I guess, I don't know, we went into some of the stories that we tell here on just life experiences. And maybe they were a little emotionally intense, or maybe Italians just cry.
I wonder what costume do you think? Was there something that...
There was a lot of stories about me and these and kind of what happened and how things developed and all of that. And but yeah, they were... I was like, I didn't mean to make you all cry. That was not the goal.
If anything, over the past 10 years, it's just the knowledge that the bad days will come.
Yeah.
But most likely, you'll work your way out of it.
And if you don't, you don't get to tell about it.
Exactly.
If you do, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, but it's not, I like to see that. And I see that a lot this trip in Italy. A lot of people expressing emotion in a big way. I've seen, I don't know, probably 15 adults crying in 3 weeks.
Wow.
And not crying in a bad way, or crying being moved away in public, in the middle of like... Shit, we went to the place where my dad would basically have his office, which was a coffee shop in Milan where he would have his corner table and there, and you know, they loved him there. And so the lady and the cashier who runs the place, Sue Isabella, and she remembered her, and she remembered with my dad, and she started, you know, she's in the middle of handing change to another customer, and she started getting all teary-eyed and tears start flowing and all of that. And I'm like... I understand what they say about Italians being emotional people.
Yeah. What are we missing here? All we are is angry.
Yeah, anger is not... That's emotion, but not a particularly pleasant one.
So how long till you just say, fuck it, and move back?
You know, I never thought about it realistically before. Recently, I had a couple of moments where I was like, ah, okay, I'm seeing something going on here that... You know, I always love living in US and always found more good reasons than not to live here.
But
it's becoming a little more challenging. Let's put it that way. It's a little tricky.
Did you see Gavin Newsom put an ad out in Florida?
Oh, no. What was it?
It's like, if you want freedom or reproductive rights or be able to love who you want to, plenty of room in California.
Oh, wow. That's funny. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not looking good on that end. Like, American culture is not heading into a good place. And that's like the understatement of the century, because it's so obvious that it's not even up for debate.
No, the brown shirts are showing up in U-Hauls.
Yeah. I spoke with Chris Ryan, former guest and great writer. He was saying, yeah, I think I'm getting out. Like, he was always traveling a lot, but he's like, I think the travel is gonna become like, I'm gonna actually move somewhere else.
And he's in Colorado right now.
Yeah, right? And he's like,
I'm sure it's tumultuous there.
I think I'm done. And you know, he said it the way we do sometimes. He's like, it has almost a Dickens-like vibe of like the best of time and the worst of times. You know, on one end you look at what's going on in the culture and is atrocious. On the other end, the birds are chirping, the sun is in the sky, you meet a good friend, you eat good food, and you're like, okay, it doesn't feel like the apocalypse, even though in other ways it is.
Yeah.
So Chris is great. I ended up subscribing to his Substack, because you know, if you wait for Chris to write a book, you have to wait about 10 years each time. So to read his thoughts on a more regular basis is fun. He's a really good writer. I love the way he thinks. I find him to be spot on overwhelmingly most of the time. I really like Chris Ryan. Yeah.
It's always a doggy dog world,
Chris. But in a good way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like when I look back at, we've been doing this for 11 years. When I look back, most episodes I'm happy with, most guests we had I'm happy with. There are some that you're like, oh, ish, that did not work out. Especially maybe even the ones that worked out okay at the time, but then you fast forward a few years and you're like, whoa, their good side shrank like a bonsai. Their bad sides are on steroids now. Yeah, these are not people I would associate with today. But luckily, it's not that many. And on the other hand, you look at like somebody like Chris Ryan. I liked him when I met him. I liked him afterwards. I like him today. Just a cool human being too. I really can't say enough good stuff about the guy. I really like him. Both his work, him as a person, and everything else. But yeah, South Dakota is next. So now away from Italy, now it's time for bison and roaming bisons on the prairies and black eels and dive into lakes that are way too cold for my taste. And
are you going to that same crazy lake you went last time?
Yeah. That place is so beautiful. Savannah and Isabella are going to just laugh their asses off at me because they are troopers. They dive into a cold lake, no problem. And I'm just pretended I'm Wim Hof even when it's like 90 degrees and stuff. So it's just like, oh, it's cold. And
it is funny though, the cold water seems to be something to it. It definitely wakes you up for your day.
Oh yeah,
we've been doing it for a bit now and there's no joke to it.
No, I don't do well with it. I don't mind cold weather. I really mind cold water.
Yeah,
I'm just not a fan. But hey,
well, it releases adrenal responses. So
that's what I hear, but I'm like, no, I like to keep the adrenal response close to me.
Available.
And yes. But yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm definitely. The whole thing with Italy, though, about the food really made me think even more about gardening and producing our own food as much as possible. Because when you realize what you eat outside, what so much of the stuff we eat is clearly terrible food. Having more and more that you can do at home seems, I'm even more inspired by it. Quick break in the show to give some love to our sponsor for this episode. Today we're sponsored by freedomgrooming.com. These sweet folks sell electric razors, and the timing could not be better for me. Since I no longer have enough hair to justify my scarecrow look, it's time for me to shave. I currently sport the least amount of hair I've ever had, and I'm debating whether to do away with it altogether. If you entertain similar thoughts, freedomgrooming.com may be your new friend. They've worked shaving into a science, so you won't cut yourself thanks to their safeguard technology, and you'll cut 50% more hair with a single stroke compared to traditional razors. This means you are likely to shave in no more than 2 or 3 minutes. The razors are waterproof, so you can shave in the shower. You can sign up to receive new blades every few weeks, or not, up to you. Don't just take my word for it, though. They have over 10,000 five-star reviews. So to thank you for being such a loyal listener, we are partnering with Freedom to give you an exclusive 20% off when you go to freedomgrooming.com/drunken. Again, that's freedomgrooming.com/drunken.
For our little fourth barbecue, we had our first cucumbers and our first tomatoes.
Mm.
It was like
fantastic.
It's just the best.
I had on the tomato front, I opened my bag and I realized that the last night I was there, I took my great aunt out for dinner, who's 90 years old.
Wow.
And we went out and it was amazing. She's a sweet lady. And we got to spend time with her, me and these and her. We went out for dinner and And I realized I still had in the bag, like the waitress gave us the bread because we didn't eat it. So I took it home. And of course, by the time I got home, it was super hard, but I'm like, bruschetta time. I can put some olive oil, put it in the oven, fresh tomatoes, basil, done. Perfect.
No reason to waste anything.
So that was fun. That was fun. Oh, speaking of the old folks, so check this out. I ran into a guy, 90.
Real quick, how is that aunt getting along? Is she still... She's, she need help these days, I'm guessing,
a
some?
A little, not terrible. Like, walking outside, she was good. She was just kind of hanging on to my arm.
Sure.
But she was good. She's definitely sharp, mind-wise. I think, like, what happened about a year ago, she took a fall, broke something, so that clearly slowed her down. But sure. She's 90, and she's still doing all right for the most part. But
fantastic.
But another guy I met, 90 years old, and I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me, you know? It's like the guy moved around as well as I do.
Wow.
Like, no difference. He was, they tell me that every winter he goes skiing for like 4 hours a day. And he has still has a job where he drives down from northern Italy all the way to southern Italy, drive 10 hours, buy some clothes there, sell them up in the north, do this thing where he does it once a week.
Wow.
And super sharp. And I was like, how is this even physically possible? Like, that's winning the genetic lottery in...
And born in the 30s.
Yeah, just like, and you talk to him, he's ridiculously sharp, moves perfectly, goes skiing, has a blast. And clearly it's not everybody, because, you know, then you see some of... he has like a few siblings, like two of them have Alzheimer's. And so you're like, huh, how does that work? Why do these guys get messed up? And this guy is fantastic. Can't get any better than this.
Roll the dice.
Some of it, I'm sure maybe there's something he does, and then some of it is a roll of the dice.
Yeah.
100%. Because, yeah, when you get to that age, I mean, it's like somebody... ask me right now, I would sign that piece of paper 10 times over to be dead. Even if you were to die tomorrow, that's as good as life as you can possibly have.
I wonder what it was like being a 10-year-old in Italy in 1942. There was no driving up and down 10 hours in those days, I'm sure.
No, that was rough. That was, and actually I talk about it with my great aunt, because actually she was, I think she was born in 32. So she
plenty
was
old enough to see it
10
all.
Years old in 42, and then 12 in the middle of the war in 44. And so, yeah, she had plenty of stories there for sure.
Is that the only hope we have at this point, that the war is coming? So we might as well accept that there may be a chance that there's another side of it and it can unfold itself?
Yeah, that was another thing of like, you know, I'm there by the sea, enjoying the sea, and I open the newspapers and they're like, Putin says if NATO does this and that, he's going to bomb London next. And they're like, every day was like, if NATO does this, it's World War III. If they do this, it's war. I was like, okay, we live at an interesting edge. That's for sure.
Right on the, yeah, constantly, every day.
But speaking of war, so check this out. I got to, maybe I'll put it as an episode cover. There's, technically, I guess he's my step-grandfather, is the father of my mom's husband. So, yeah, technically that makes it. I did an episode on him about for History on Fire, because he was a partisan commander in the mountains, and his unit is the one that captured Mussolini at the time.
Wow.
And he's, you know, trippy guy. He's 96 years old now. So
he was there for all of it too.
Yeah, he was there when he was, I think, 18 or something is when that happened. But, you know, I like the 90-year-old dude. He was great until 3 years ago. His mind has slipped heavy in the last 3 years. And the poor guy is like, now I kind of wish he could go in peace, because he's not a happy camper. You know, he struggled a lot with his mind.
Never knows
hardly,
where he is, when he is.
See stuff. Oh, and Isabella was a goddamn angel with him. Like, she walked in and she would just kneel next to him, hold his hand, kiss him every 30 seconds, spend 3 hours with him, talking to him, cuddling him, telling him he's loved, hugging him, do this over and over and over for nonstop, which you think, like, a 13-year-old kid, you want to do other shit. You want to go about town, do whatever. And she was just perfectly happy doing that, just hugging him, letting him know over and over he's loved and all of that. And so I was like, okay, I don't know. Like, that's a hell of a lot of, I don't even know what it's like, empathy, good feeling, like whatever it is. But like the fact that you mean it and you are happy to do it, and it's like, it's pretty. And he was in heaven, of course, with her, because he was getting probably more affection and attention that he gets in 6 months.
Was he able to anchor himself in the moment, you think? Or do you think he was still...
He would get there in the moment. And then, of course, you know, he would slip out and forget. And like the next moment is like, who's this girl? And then maybe he gets cranky for a minute. And then they explain, and then he comes back. And then...
Yeah.
But to... Speaking of, we're saying war... last, because we spent the night there in his hometown in Bergamo, and he woke up the next day and they told me that he had terrible dreams, and he, you know, 96 years old, he's dreaming that the Nazis have captured his father and they just executed him, which, by the way, never happened. They didn't capture his father and executed him during the war.
But
his
still, father did die during the, inside of him.
And also his father was... in danger with the Nazis, and they were kind of after him and all of that. So he's like, that's still there 78 years later. You know, it's still a fear in the back that at 96, you're still dreaming of that shit, thinking wow. about the Nazis are coming for my father and they captured him and executed him. And I was like, that's heavy. Some of that shit just does not go away.
Oh, no. It passing stays there of time, for good, doesn't it?
Yes, passing of time does nothing to change it.
Well, and I've been asking people, especially older folks, like this whole notion of, because I'm starting to feel it myself, but the thing that looks through your eyes, you know, whatever that is, seems to remain consistent for most people.
Right.
Like it'll change its opinions about some things, but
yep.
the person you are is the person you are. And I think those memories swirl all around.
That
whatever
is
that part of you is.
Very interesting thing about identity, because it's like on one end you think about who you were when you were a kid, when you're a teenager, when you're in your 20s, and you see continuity. You see like, that was me right there.
Yeah.
On the other end, sometimes it's like looking at another person altogether.
Sure.
And not just because you have changed. Maybe you didn't change opinions, then maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But like your perception of things, the energy you put out there, like you're like, how was that person? What the hell? How is that even? And they're both true.
Yeah.
You know, there's something that continues and is there all the time. And there's something that from 20 years before or after, it feels like 10 lifetimes. Like you couldn't be more different. And it's trippy to think about it. Like what exactly is in us that remains constant? What is it in us that's constantly changing?
No.
And both of those aspects are real.
And all the scars stay in place, though. There's sort of, you can put it out of your mind.
Yeah.
But like you just said, it's still in there.
Very much still in there.
That's so fascinating. Wow.
Yeah. 96-year-old dream about being a teenager in the war where the Nazis capture your father.
Wow. I remember when my dad was fading, there was a portion of the night where he thought he was a log.
Wow.
Back in Vietnam.
Wow.
Because he was hiding.
Jesus.
I'm a log.
Damn.
Yeah. He was sure he's going to hell for killing everybody he killed.
Well, and that's the other thing of people who have been through war.
That never leaves them.
No, they do have that sense of, like, this guy needed to be reassured that he was a good person a lot. And because clearly there was, even though I think he always felt that he did what he had to do.
Of course.
There was also like, you know, you kill people. It stays with you. It's rough. And he's the guy that I think I told you the story once, that when he did maybe 6-7 years ago, he wrote a book about some of his memories and stuff. And the lady showed up at the book signing saying, you know, you killed my sister 70 years ago. And turns out it was true, because the sister was about to go tell to the Nazis
out.
Where everybody was and have them all killed. And he was like, I don't want to kill her.
I'd do it again, though.
But at the same time, yeah, what could I do? You know? And, but, you know, rationally, I think you come to terms with it and you're cool with it because it's like, well, we had no other choice. But of course, there's a side of you that's like, you still kill some.
Yeah, that's on my scorecard.
Yeah, and that's rough. That also stays with you big time.
It would have to. Yeah. If it didn't, then there's really something wrong
with
you.
Yeah, then you want to worry because then you got issues there as a person. So it's, but yeah, crazy shit. Absolutely crazy shit. I don't know.
When you look at times like that and the horrors people had to go through, what's anybody around here got to complain about?
Yeah. No, it's different game for sure.
And it's nothing to be mad about. Yeah. But there's just rage.
I'll tell you another one you like. Speaking of food and gardening and everything.
I like all that.
I got to spend a day, 2 days, close to Bergamo in what turns out to be a Hare Krishna community.
Ooh.
Because, I mean, you don't even realize it while you're there in the sense that there's, they created a village, essentially. They bought acres of land, I don't know how many, not a ton, I'm guessing 30 acres, 40 acres, something like that, which is good amount, but sure. It's not like to create, there are 127 houses in that place, Whoa. You know, single family houses, and everybody's got their own private house where they just do their thing. It's their family. So it looks like any other neighborhood, but it's part of this kind of separate community where they have then their space for kind of a communal space where they get together. They have events. They have their temple. They do their stuff. But the interesting part to me was also they have these communal gardens. Oh. They have like 4 or 5 acres of communal gardens. And I went to one of them that's about 2.5 acres that's for their own private consumption. And everybody gets one row that's about 50 yards long.
Wow.
And you get a row that's narrow. You know, you just put one set of plants in that row, but sure. You have 50 yards to plant. And that's where my my stepmom, my father's wife lives there now because she used to be Hare Krishna for many years.
Really?
And then she ran a school for a Hare Krishna community back in Tuscany for many years. Then she got out in the 90s and stuff, but they always loved her after that. So she had no money to get anywhere, and she, because they loved her, they set her up to buy a house for real cheap there for pretty much next to nothing.
What? They weren't chasing profit? What?
She bought it for, like, you couldn't buy a table for that, pretty much. And so she was there, and she would go every day to her 50 yards of veggies, which, by the way, they provided all free from the other farm that they do for sale. They just dug tiny little plants, gave them, and she planted all. And every single day she walk away with a chest about this big of produce.
Oh my God.
She would have, like, I was there a couple of days. Every day she came home with like 8 to 10 zucchini and a bunch of, to the point where she couldn't consume it because she lives by herself. Yeah. So she's always giving it away. Like, she keeps a small part and gives away most of it.
Well, that's the best part of them of all. You never eat it all.
And I love that every day, I mean, never mind the fact that, you know, I'm not, like, the whole Hare Krishna thing, I'm less than crazy about in terms, but whatever, doesn't matter. That the idea of though having a village like that, where it's not like some 60s commune where you have no private property, you have no private spaces, is no, everybody's got their houses. Like, it's a,
yeah,
it's
that like seems any to be other essential. Neighborhood.
But there are these communal spaces. There is this land that every day around when the sun starts getting a little less hot, everybody goes out and tend to their thing, and you chat with your neighbors as you're picking up the produce for the day and pull out the weeds. And they
swap out. Hey, I got a lot of zucchini today. What do you got?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, I have a whole bunch of these. So there's no way we can do it. Oh, I'll trade you these. Yeah, thanks. Cool. I was like, how good is this? It looked perfect. It looked exactly like what you would want in where you live. So I love that. And I figure you would dig it. I took a couple of pictures, but it totally don't...
Doesn't convey it.
No, they don't convey it at all. I should have videoed it. And I should have videoed it from above too, because you get to see the distance. But it's, such a beautiful place. such a beautiful place, such a nice vibe to it, and that setup, you know, they have the...
That seems incredibly pleasant.
Yeah, the one for everybody, and then they have their farm where they just sell the extra stuff. So they...
Does everybody do a couple hours a week in that to
that
keep
kind
it
of
going?
Thing. Yeah, where everybody's like...
They're the experts. And
yeah,
then...
yeah, exactly. And ask for people to help a little bit, and then they sell it and use it to... They're like 80 Ukrainians that they took in as refugees for the time being.
Wow.
So they had that.
Any trouble in there? And all that seemed to be just smooth as silk. Everybody's fine.
Yeah, was... just took care of them and fed them and stuff. And so I was like, you know what? Again, I'm not crazy per se about the Hare Krishna in the ideology and the religious ideas, but everything they are doing here seem really pleasant. The way they've been really cool with the Ukrainians, the way they the setup to how they hang out with each other. I was like, it's a nice setup. Very, very nice. Not far from Bergamo, so if you want to go into town, you can, but you can also stay in your little village and mind your business. I was like, this is not a bad deal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you grow that magical herb in Italy, or is that still...
A weed, as far as I know, is illegal. I think they don't crack down on personal use. Like, if you have less than, I forget what it is, I think it's like 20 grams, something like that. Don't quote me on it, but right. Like, relatively small amounts, they
why
don't really
the
go after you. More than that, they do go after you.
Wow.
So, in regards to weed, they are not that great. They are okay, they are not awful, but they are not particularly good.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, that one is less than ideal, but everything else, I was like...
Better than when everything's less than ideal. Yeah.
Oh, and the other thing that's less than ideal is the goddamn mosquitoes.
Oh.
Man, I hate them.
North and south or mostly south?
South for sure.
Yeah.
South, we had a bunch. They are not, you know, if you hang out by the sea, no mosquitoes by the sea. It's too windy. They don't like it.
Yeah.
But once you go a tiny bit inland, yeah, they eat you alive. And then mountains, no mosquito. That was fantastic. You got a ton of flies, but no mosquitoes. Flies, whatever. They don't bite you at least. And but yeah, mosquitoes suck. That's just one part of life that I do not miss. Being in Ohio where we're at, I see one mosquito every 2 months.
It's
not
pretty
a bad
exquisite
deal. Yeah. That's one part of Italy that I was like, damn mosquitoes, I hate them.
And the temperature today is ridiculous here.
It's fantastic.
Did you bring this with you?
Right. Pleasant and not too hot, not too cold. No, this is good stuff.
It's fantastic.
So
what's up next is South Dakota.
Yep.
And you already have that set out.
Yep.
And you're going to get to take a leisurely drive.
Yeah. It's
just sort of straight up and then hork across Idaho
I'll
into
do,
the Dakotas?
You have to go through Vegas. That's kind of the only way to go. So you go through Vegas, stop in Utah the first day, stop in Wyoming the second, South Dakota the third.
Wow. Wyoming.
Yeah.
More buffalo than people.
Pretty much. There's not that many people out there. As I was looking for places to stop, and there was very slim pickings.
Yeah,
but I want to stop. There's a place in northern Wyoming where they have it's the location of this battle that I cover in History on Fire, where the Lakota kind of harassed the soldiers for several days at this fort in 1866, drew them out. And they had these decoys that essentially were in charge of being shot at by the soldiers and just staying barely out of rifle range and leading them on this chase. And they took them over the hill where there were 1,000 Lakotas waiting for them that closed in and killed all the soldiers.
And then took the fort?
No, just killed the guys that decided to give chase, and it was a bad idea.
Yeah.
So classic ambush. And it's, yeah, northern part of Wyoming, and it's not that far from where I have to go anyway, so I'm like, we can drive in. And
are there actually sort of markers for that?
No idea.
Oh, wow.
So we'll find out when we get there what it looks like. Maybe it's just the land, you know? I don't know. I'm sure there's something out there that's... But yeah, we'll find out.
But you never know. I mean, all these Civil War sites back in the South, they're all pretty much I guess they keep some of the battlefields a little more contained to what they were at the moment. But
right.
The rest of them was just like, wow, this is a lovely place right here.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
It's right by the river.
Of course.
That'd be nice on January 1st.
Yeah. It's
coming across the river. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's rough stuff for sure.
I've been reading too much of that lately because it's so creepy that it did happen.
Well, and I think that's why today we're giving you this, hey, Italy, good food, and the sea. There's so much crap that when you open the news on a daily basis makes you feel like, oh my God, this is all heading to doom and gloom, that I figure, let's give you guys a break. Let's talk about stuff that's more la la la, isn't that nice?
That's fantastic idea.
Yeah, because it's like, it's too much already.
My youngest cat is now learning to be an outside cat.
That's a challenging task.
Just for us to have to endure it.
Right.
And she's smart.
Okay, okay.
And she just loves to explore. And her favorite thing in the world to do? Chase butterflies.
I'm sure.
Not good for the butterflies so much, but...
Does she catch them?
She gets them on occasion.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Butterflies are not easy to catch.
Oh, no. She's only getting better at it. But it's just to go in the back and... I always go out with her still. I'm still concerned. We don't want anybody getting lost.
Of course.
But Maine stays to our property and has her little favorite places to hide in the shade. And
yeah, and that's
wait
the
to
other,
jump on somebody.
And that's the other thing. Like, cute animals are also one of the things that puts you in a better frame of mind for...
It helps out so much, man. These little critters that... And someone told me recently that the cat's the only animal to actually help self-domesticate.
Really?
Somewhere along the way. Yeah. They're cats like, only meow at humans. They don't meow at each other. So they have a special set of language. And she's reaching a point where we call her Macy, but she's definitely got a Janis Joplin vibe with her raspy voice.
Oh, that's
she may be smoking too much. But like the only thing you kind of get out of her is a
wow.
And she's just a 1 year old kitten. But now that she's been outside more, she's starting to get these yep, yep.
Oh, that's cute.
So that means I'm ready to go inside, asshole.
I had an interesting cat experience in Italy where I was, I had no internet in the mountains. So I would go outside this coffee shop after they closed. They still had internet on. And so I pick up their signal. I work there at the table outside. And one night there's nobody in this town, right? So it's dead quiet. It's midnight. And I hear, and I'm like, okay. And then next thing I know is like, it's two cats. I didn't see them, but like two cats going, wah! And you know, it's so sudden and it's like 20 feet away from me. And I found myself, before I knew what was happening, I was on my feet with the chair in my hand, putting it between me and whatever was coming.
Back.
Yes. And I was like, oh, it's just two cats. Okay. Don't make me up. That was pretty funny.
A few days ago, mm-hmm. I had the Zeiss telescope again, which is always nerve-wracking because I don't want to break it.
That would be bad.
But there happened to be a tiny little brand new crescent moon, maybe not even a scratch in the sky, but that's very close to the sun. You got to make sure not to point this thing at the sun because you could crack the 87-year-old lens, which would be a very bad thing.
That would be bad.
So I had it where I thought it should be, and it was just, and the other thing that's happening is that, you know, we got to open the door on this thing. It's 7 o'clock, so you can't be goofing around.
Right.
Luckily, it's the first time we've been opening a Thursday in 2.5 years, so the crowd was pretty light. And I'm looking. It's like, just, God, why can't I see it? So it's because there's a smaller finder scope that has a wider view, like 5 degrees, not the tiny little scoop of 3 centimeters that the big scope's got. Couldn't find it. This is making me so frustrated. And the glorious thing is there's always more stuff to learn. And I learned that day that finder scope is so wide that so it's still daytime when you're trying to get this. There's no way it would have been able to perceive that tiny little scratch of the moon because it's almost the same size as the sky. So I was there, I just couldn't find it.
What is that instead? You sent me a fantastic picture the other day.
That was Sunday. Uh-huh. So that close to, so that was Thursday. On Sunday,
you,
I was back up in
it.
There again, and that was the picture. So it had changed that much over those 4 days.
Oh, yeah.
But by then, so those pictures, those crescent moon pictures from like the first little crescent to the half moon are the ultimate time to look at the moon, because where a full moon's getting the sun straight at it, these crescents are getting swept across from the side.
Right.
So it's just the edge of it. So all the craters throw their own shadows. All the craters have shadows within them. And it's just, I tell people all day, because even on that Thursday, we're looking at that in the daytime, because you can find it, but still, it's pale moon against bright blue.
Yeah.
You can see it, and it's there, and it looks kind of nice. But when it gets dark, that's just, I just find it incredible. And I even told folks, like, anyway, there's more telescopes downstairs, go check that out when it turns to be night, because it's just the most incredible thing to see. And it looks like almost a sculpture or something. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even look real. And I tell people over and over, you know, you can look at this on a computer monitor, you can see it in a magazine, in a book, but to actually see it, photons that took a couple hundred thousand years to make their way from the center of the sun, all that time fighting to get out, finally hit the surface, broke loose, probably big plans to tour the whole universe. Nope. My kind of luck, smack right into the moon 8 minutes later, and then ricocheted down into our eyeballs through that lens. It's just amazing.
So those are good antidotes to the news, right? It's like,
it's always better. And just to be able to share
puppies,
it with people. Yeah.
Look, food and gardening, contemplating the mysteries of the universe through the telescope.
And it's excellent to put yourself in your place.
Yeah, it helps.
Because none of that stuff gives a single shit about us.
No. And that stuff also is, it's what we're seeing with the Chris Ryan thing. It's like, on one end, it feels like the apocalypse. On the other end is, you know, birds are chirping. Paying a little extra attention to the birds chirping, or metaphorically speaking, whether it means looking through the telescope or garden, it really helps. Because sometimes the other stuff, there's not much you can do about it. So being informed is good, but you feel frustrated and feel powerless and feel awful.
No, waste your day looking at the news and, you know, trying to fight the things you can't fight by yourself. We're in this moment. It's not going to change for a bit.
Yeah.
But you got to be able to enjoy a second or two.
Yeah. Because otherwise you burn out. You know,
I think that's a lot of what these huge frustrations, these people that lose their mind over anything now.
Yeah.
They're so wrapped up in, I got to win at all cost. You live here. You live on the earth. In a pleasant time, you know, not politically maybe, but what else can you do at this point? If you can't find some things you can get some joy out of, you're just wasting your time here anyway. It's an incredible place.
Yep.
Even if you don't live in the greatest part of the world, there's got to be something nice around somewhere. There's got to be a lake or a creek or something to explore. Look for crawdads. I mean, I can think of all the thousands of little things traipsing around. Get into nature. Get out of the city. Get away from, I guess I told a week ago or so, I was without my phone for 6 days. I did not miss it at all.
Really?
The only time it was sort of an issue, no traffic guidance. Like going into the city.
That's rough.
I kind of have three paths, and you picked the wrong one, it could cost you an hour of your life. So I did concede a little bit.
I didn't have, my phone plan didn't allow me to really use it in Italy unless I had Wi-Fi. So. Right. Bunch of times I'm out and I need a direction. It was hilarious how much I got lost.
Oh, yeah.
I was...
It used to be fun to get lost. That used to be a part of it, if I recall.
Yeah, Isabella was laughing her ass off because I asked for the same street direction about 57 times as we got closer and closer because I kept not wanting to mess it up too bad. So it was like...
We're getting closer.
Yeah. That's funny. But, man. So, there's gloom, doom, and destruction on the horizon around us under our feet some of the time, but there's also a hell of a lot of beautiful stuff as well, and we live right at that edge, and it would be bullshit to pretend that one side doesn't exist, and it would be completely counterproductive to pretend that the good side doesn't exist. So,
and the good side is fantastic.
It really is. So here we are enjoying the complexities of it all.
How are those dark skies in Italy? Did you get much of the Milky Way and all that happening? Or were you still pretty much in the city where that was...
Depends. Some places I was in the city, so yeah, you don't get to see much. Some places I was in the middle of nowhere, so you got to see a lot. But on the, I guess, less pleasant side, on the climate change side, is like, man, the drought is brutal right now.
Yep.
There was a drought. There is the Po River, is one of the biggest rivers in northern Italy. It's gigantic. And people were walking right through it because it was, the water was just about a foot or two deep. And normally it's like a humongously powerful river. So
those are the biggest concerns we don't even pay attention to.
Yeah, those are scary ones for real.
That's the one who's going to get us.
Yeah.
I don't know. Earth doesn't care.
No, does not. But we shall see how that plays out.
Well, try to find something pleasant for your day, everybody. It's got to be somebody you can chat with, or maybe it's just a little old cat or something. But it's a good place, man.
I agree.
We just sort of run it badly.
I agree. I think that's a good synthesis right there. And as we speak, you had Azog the Defiler come in to greet you. So that's a nice thing, too.
Yeah. I wish everybody could find those things. What's up, buddy? Nice waggedy tail.
Beautiful. So, in light of that, let's wrap things up.
Bye. Well, the funky music means one thing. That's the end of another fine episode of the Drunken Dows podcast, episode 221 in the books. Daniele, Savannah, and Isabella will be back from South Dakota sometime this week. We'll get an update on the rest of their summertime adventures, and that'll be on the next episode. It'll be fantastic. Real quick before we take off, a couple of good tracks on here. One, at the end of the mid-roll, is a song called Mojave Blues by a great artist named Wandering Ghost. Kindly allowed us to use that over the years. I just wanted to thank him and let you know that his album, The Fall of Fear, is available on Spotify for you to check out. Some great tracks on there. I think my favorite one is The Strawberry Revolution. Sounds like he's ready to join the hippies in 69. Just a fantastic artist, great guy, and the songs are really nifty, and check him out. Might as well. And I also want to thank friend of the show, Bruno Galelli. He's got some of that interstitial music that was towards the end of the show, his house music.
House, definitely.
Check it out. You can check him out on SoundCloud, a bunch of tracks there. Look him up under Galelli, G-A-L-L-E-L-L-I. Sounds like he might be related to someone, almost. A quick thanks to grasslandbeef.com, kiva.org, Daisy House, and their awesome theme music. You can find them on Bandcamp/Daisy House. They got a bunch of records, and there's some great songs in those for sure. Well, guys, that's about it. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Daniele and I will be back in a couple of weeks with another episode, update on South Dakota, and who knows what'll be going on at that point. Anyway, have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye. D-B-O-L-E-L-L-I.
Good shit.
R-I-C-H-I-M-O-N and the numeral 1. And so ends another awesome episode of the Drunken Dows podcast. Be sure to keep your ears peeled for another mind-expanding episode coming soon. We'll be tweeting you as they come out. You can keep track of Daniele at D Bolelli. That's D-B-O-L-E-L-L-I. And you can find me on Twitter at RichieMon1. R-I-C-H-I-M-O-N and the numeral 1. We'll see y'all soon. Woo!
I don't want to hear this.
No, you don't.
In questo caso, le provvidenze di Dio.
Duncan showed you the way, yeah?
Oh, man, isn't that scary to think?
Nice. So don't kill people, do that instead.
This was great.
it's fucking awesome.
And I love this conversation.
I have nothing against chicken other than the fact that they are ugly and weird and strange. We've been having a great hour here. I completely got lost. Are we doing the outro or the intro?
We're outro.
Oh, we're outro. Okay, sorry. So let's continue. Did you ever see the movie Tombstone with Val Kilmer and...
Your accent, it just... Whatever that movie is you were trying to tell me about...
Can you translate for me, please?
I believe the word was Tombstone.
Yeah, that one. Exactly. Just as I was saying, you know, Tombstone. Now, most everybody thought... Sorry. We'll do a cut on there.
Or not. That was something else.
No, that's maybe too powerful. What do I have to do? One day the rod shall teach you.
Get back to work.
Funky.
Podcasting. It's like radio, but you can cuss.
What?